This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Hopefully, everybody had a great weekend, a beautiful Monday, and we're here to talk about the Mariners losing and the Seahawks losing and the Cougars lost and your Stanford Cardinal lost.
I don't think anybody cares about that.
You do. Come on. You were out of sorts all weekend because of it.
I did watch the Coug game. That was pretty
heartbreaking. I didn't catch the ending. I had to leave, and I thought, oh, they got this.
Yeah.
And then I find out they didn't have it. They lost. I'm like, wow, that's not going to play well with some people we know.
I won't name names, but there was a defensive back that set himself up for failure by turning his hips. And, you know, they're playing man-to-man coverage, and Oregon's got a ton of great athletes. So in the end, they end up coming down and scoring. I was texting with Bump, and, you know, it was really hard to not use the phrase, they cooged it. But they did at the end.
That's so. What it seems like. I thought they had it in hand. I left. I had to go do stuff. And then, that was not good.
And all this talk, obviously, is to delay what happened to the Mariners and the Seahawks.
Oh, my God. We were in the press box for the Seahawks game. So I wasn't watching it as it was happening.
We were
at the Seahawks game. I was up there with Son of Augustusen was up there and Stacey and Maura. And we're all sitting there and we're looking at it. I got up at one point. I think it was like 5-2, 7-2, something like that. I got up, went to the bathroom, got something to eat, came back. I goes, it's still 7-2, whatever it was. No, it's 11-2. I'm like, oh, my goodness. They're just blowing this team out. Nice. Then I've got it up on my computer screen, just watching the box score, and it's like, oh, it's 11-4. All right. Well, luckily they got some slack. It's 11-6. I'm like, wait, what is happening here? It was just this slow death march where you're just going, wait a minute, is this reality? What the hell is happening here? And then the computer wasn't refreshing, and I'm asking Brandon, hey, you got an update on it? Is it still 11-9? And then obviously we know what happened. They give up 11 runs in the bottom of the sixth. And I tweeted out afterwards. I said, and it created a great debate. It was one of those debates. It's sort of like when we have texter on texter crime here.
And you started the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I pretty much started the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much. you gave up 11 runs. You were up 11-2 in the sixth inning, and you lose 13-12. You choked. That is a massive face plant. And I said, considering where they're at in the season, you got 10 games left. You're aiming for a postseason berth for the first time in two decades. And you got the team behind you that's just hanging tough. You win, they win. You lose, they lose. They're not going anywhere. The Orioles, we keep waiting for in Buffet. And you blow an 11-2 lead in the sixth. I go, that to me is the worst loss in franchise history. And most agreed, but the what I thought was pretty cool, it, besides people getting upset about it, was that it created kind of a debate. Well, no, I think that's not the worst loss. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me which is. And there weren't many answers other than them dropping a 12-run lead to the Indians. In the Indians at the time, now the Guardians, in 2001, August 5th. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? That was a devastating game. 12 runs. I mean, it was embarrassing is what it was. But that was August 5th.
Right.
There was a lot of baseball to be played. Oh, and by the way, they won 116 games that year. It meant nothing. No. It didn't alter their position going into the playoffs. It didn't determine whether they made it or didn't make it. Yes, embarrassing, horrible loss. But in terms of what's attached to it, and where it took place in the season, this to me was where you're coming off a dreadful
have. That's mm-hmm. in my life. Like I sometimes dwell on it too much. You dwell on the past. You're not going anywhere. So you can't dwell on it. But I mean, we talked about, you know, and I saw in your email how I was saying, I hope it doesn't come down to the, you know, they
that
have
was
to
the
win
first
the
thing
last
you
six.
Said. We talked about 20 games. What do you think? I think they'll go 14-6. I think they'll go 15-5, 13, whatever it was. And your comment was, I just don't want them to get to a point where they got to win the last six in a row to get in. And
or three even, or four. And then, you know, and then the regret, you're going to look back to that game.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, with a 11-2 lead.
In the sixth inning.
Oh, man. I mean, that's just devastating. And, you know, and it was a bad weekend for, you know, everybody but the Huskies. But, I mean, that loss is, I would agree that But we'll see. I mean, look, if they, you know, go on a big run here and, you know, are able to sweep the A's, you know, take three out of four from Detroit, take two out of three from Texas, maybe you forget about it. But if it's the other way around,
If it's a nip and tuck battle, all of a sudden the Orioles are winning games, you drop a couple. I mean, it's just, that's the position we wanted to avoid. Right? Mm-hmm. Handle your business. Just win six. Don't worry about what the Orioles do. Don't worry about, did they win tonight? Did they lose tonight? Just win 6 of 10. You can do that. You've got the schedule that should allow you to do that. That road trip should have been decidedly better. You dropped 7 of 10 to those teams. And I get the injuries. I get you got guys playing out of position. But some of the things that we saw happen in that series have been happening long before the injuries. You know, the defense has been problematic probably, what, the past month or so? Scott Servais has mentioned it specifically over the past month a few times. And then, you know, the pitchers have kind of taken turns throwing up duds, and they've been spectacular all year. But you had, you know, Logan Gilbert wasn't good, and George Kirby wasn't good, and Luis Castillo wasn't good. And then the bullpen comes out, and they're not good. All these things that have been strengths, it's kind of just the timing of it is really poor. And again, do I think they're going to the playoffs? Yes, I do. But they're just making it too hard. It doesn't need to be a nail-biter yet. That road trip and then that game, capping it off with that game, is turning this into a nail biter. So you've got 10 games left. The magic number is 6. Any combination of their wins versus Orioles losses adding up to 6, you're in. That's great. I'd also like them to go in with some level of momentum. Just some. Right. Don't limp. Don't drag yourself across the finish line and say, we made it. Now we're going to be a punching bag.
Well, and then, you know, some of the hurt guys, the guys that are injured, that you want them to have a couple games going in where, you know, they're not having to come right off the IL list,
yeah,
and, you know, get a couple of games of warm up. But yeah, I was just looking at the bottom of the rotation and what you're having to get it done with right now. And, you know, this is almost worst case scenario. No Julio. And you're having to rely on, and look, you know, Kelnick's been good, but it's Torrens, Kelnick, Winker, Toro, Frazier, Demo, love Demo, but, you know, Trammell, Haggerty. I mean, those are guys that are kind of up and down.
It's a lot of role players there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of role players. And Cal Raleigh, we saw him, you know, look like he aggravated the thumb catching a pitch last night, stayed in for a bit, then they pulled him out. I don't know what's going to happen with him, if they're going to rest him for a few days, but that's the other thump in the lineup. So you're without Gino, without Julio, maybe without Cal again, who's dealing with the thumb. Yeah, you need the upside is you saw Mitch Haniger and Ty France come up with multiple hits in this game, and maybe they'll start rolling again, find their rhythm, because you desperately need them. But that was just, you guys can text in, I'm curious, because it did create a big debate on Twitter. 866-979-3776. I say it's the worst loss they've had in their franchise history. Which one is worse? Again, it's about the timing of where it lands, what's at stake. It's not the biggest lead they've blown. Again, the game against Cleveland was clearly bigger. But again, you won 116 that year. That was August 5th. So you had a lot of baseball. It meant nothing to the overall standing of whether you get in, your positioning, anything. It was just embarrassing.
Were you proud of yourself?
Huh?
Were you proud of yourself?
For what?
Starting that whole fight? Because I just saw the episode. Remember the episode of Seinfeld where at Poppy's restaurant, he brings up a controversial topic and everybody turns on each other. And afterwards he's going, and I got to say, I pretty much started the whole thing.
That's when Elaine got into it, right? With with Poppy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you were kind of like that. You're an instigator, Bob.
Yeah, unintentional, though. It was more emotion. I was really
angry.
It's
a good great question, dare I say.
Yeah.
It's a great question to ask. I mean, but look, I think in order to answer the question, you got to see how it plays out. Like I said, if they blaze their way into the playoffs, great.
Yeah.
Although it could be, maybe it's a seeding thing that you get and go, could have been a better matchup if they'd won that game.
Yeah. I mean, you're at this point, they're still in, and you're talking about, well, had they played like we hoped they would have in that 10 game stretch, maybe we're talking about them having home playoff games versus being a road team. You know, so that's kind of what's been blown out of the water at this point. Their spot in the postseason has not, but I think it's listen. I don't know anybody that's coming out of this going, they're fine. They're not playing well. Yeah. You drop 7 of 10 to bad teams, and you capped it off with an absolute debacle. So they've got to figure it out. They got the day off. It comes at a great time. So we'll see how things go. Final 10 game march toward the postseason, 10 games left, all at T-Mobile. So we'll definitely be talking about that. But before we turn to the Seahawks, just one quick thought from Scott Servais. stating the obvious, just saying we just got to get back to playing the way we were playing.
But we haven't played good baseball on this trip. That's the thing. You know, I talked to the team a little bit afterward. Is we need to get back to playing baseball the way we have all year. That's allowed us to be in this position. We do have a good spot, the opportunity to make the playoffs. So the next 10 games will define, you know, where we're at. But we need to get back to playing good baseball. So
he's right. I mean, just the things they were doing that were so fundamentally sound. Even when the offense was struggling, their pitching was great. Their defense was top notch. They were, whether you thought they were the best or not, they were amongst the best. And certainly in fielding percentage, they weren't booting ball. They weren't doing things to hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. They weren't giving the other teams more opportunity. So they were really fundamentally sound, and that has changed even before these injuries have set in. The injuries just exacerbated. So we'll see how things go. I'm fired up for this homestand. I know the crowd's going to be there. It's going to be a wild, wild scene. It's going to be a scene, man, as Jerry says.
Scene, man.
Meanwhile, the Seahawks, this one I was much, much, much more upset about the Mariners because of what's at stake and where they're at in the season, you know, like we were talking about. The Seahawks, this is kind of – I had them at 1-2 after three games. I just had the two games reversed. I had them losing to the Broncos, and I had them winning this game.
And
we both had them losing to the 49ers. So I thought they'd be 1-2 at this point, which they are, but they beat the Broncos and lost to the Falcons. Those were, man, I know you were up in the booth. You got a lot of thoughts. To me, I'm looking at this going, these are two really bad defenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're just calling it like it is, neither one of those defenses had anything that you looked at and said, wow, I like what they're doing there. That was a rough day for both of them. And that's concerning because the defense the past couple of years under Ken Norton on historical paces in terms of futility, in terms of just being bad, it doesn't look much different as of yet. It's only three games, not panicking, a lot of youth, but still, you know, to me, it's clearly the weakest part of this team right now.
Yeah, it's, I think I said the meanest thing you could possibly say in my instant reaction after the game, and it was, this looks like last year's defense. You know, and then you look at the, they've given up more rushing yards than everybody except for the Houston Texans. And the Texans are not a good team, and they're giving up like 203 yards per game, but 157 from the Seahawks and is what they're giving up. And, you know, look, you had Deebo Samuel and then Deebo Samuel 2.0 in Cordarrelle Patterson. But, man, there are so many things like alignment, certainly assignment, the most basic things. I mean, and if you look back on that game and think about where did all the yards come, it was on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was that or there were guys in the backfield, defensive backfield, just giving way too big of cushions. I mean, the touchdown to Drake London, I mean, you see, it looked to me, and I'm never, you know, trying to be the defensive coordinator, but it looked like they had two man, which is two safeties over the top, everybody underneath playing man-to-man, gave him like a 10-yard cushion. Guy just turned around, caught the ball, ran in the end zone. So it's kind of like last week with Cody Barton. They split Jeff Wilson Jr. out, and Cody goes out with him. He's 10 yards off him. Guy catches the ball and beats him to the cone. So, yeah, it was a lot of like, you know, and that's just an alignment thing. You know, one of the runs, it was an 18-yard run from Patterson. You can see that they're outflanked just by their alignment, much less taking on blocks and trying to turn everything back inside. So, you know, and we'll get to this later, but there was a play on 3rd and 2 where they had, you know, three tight ends, you know, your offensive guard, your tackle. It was Rashad Penny. They had like four guys on that side.
Yeah.
Check to a run. Instead, they throw it to DK. They have to settle for a field goal. You know, there was lots of things like that happened. And, the defense to me, if you had to say, okay, what's the one thing that you could do to fix it? To me, I would say maybe simplify it. Because everybody looks like they're thinking too much.
Is it complex what they're doing? Is it dramatically different than what they were asking them to do last year?
Maybe. You know, you never know because everybody, because you put in a defense and it's very basic, but then you have rules of, okay, if they're in this, you know, formation, then we're going to do this way. And maybe, you know, there's too much to remember. If it doesn't make sense to you and you have to remember it, then, you know, and like I've said before, I've had defensive coordinators that just ditch a defense. They just go, hey, you know what? We're thinking too much here. We're not, let's just make it simple. So, Yeah, if that would be the one thing that I would say is probably just the theme of what's going on right now. So, you know, and then you see you throw in missed tackles and, you know, any missed opportunities. But mostly it's alignment and assignment. And I know that's really boring and people don't want to hear that. But that's kind of what we talked about during the broadcast, Rabel and I. And that's, you know, when you see guys running around and they're kind of, well, I always say yogging. Soft J, Bob. You know, a lot
apparently
of times
you just run.
Yeah, just run. But you saw it a little bit on offense too, and that screen that they ran to Penny where they got the holding penalty. There's like guys just kind of standing around. It doesn't mean you're lazy. It doesn't mean that you're out of shape. It means that you're thinking. You know, the times that I was yogging in my career, I was like, I'm trying to think too much. You know, and that just slows you down. So I think that to me is the one theme I would say on defense that probably is what's holding them back.
They gave up, and I asked Pete this in the postgame just about they had huge plays, and it felt like whenever they needed it, they got it. They gave up plays of 40 yards, 30 yards, 28, 26, 23, 22, 21, 19, and 2 18-yard gains. Yeah. I mean, in one of them, they converted on a 3rd and 19. I mean, it just – they were gashing him. And Mariota is not a great passer of the ball. I mean, this could have been much worse. Michael Jackson got beat early in that game, and he overthrew his receiver. He would have coasted into the end zone if he didn't overthrow him. I mean, it was just – it just fell – and they said – the Nuosu, after the game, he came into the press room, and he flat out said, he goes, they did whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. They did whatever they want. And that's kind of what it felt like in watching it. Like, yeah, whatever they call is going to work, and it's going to gouge you for a bunch of yards, whether it's a run or pass. It was just chunk yardage, and it was disturbing to watch just for the defense. Just we were expecting such an improvement, and there still is so much season left. It's only 3 games. It's not who I think they're going to be when it's all said and done. But this is a little rough to watch right now. And to me, the offense is decidedly further along than the defense is at this point. Mm-hmm. I thought Michael Jackson had a tough game. I thought they just collectively as a defense, I don't know who you point to and say that guy played his tail off. Maybe Al Woods. I don't.
Yeah. He fights hard.
Yeah, it's just hard to find that guy you look at and go, well, yeah, bad day, but this guy really stood out.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the play? There was a play where the running back is kind of heading off tackle, and then Cody, for whatever reason, goes like back inside and hits either a guard or a fullback, I can't remember. And it's like, why is he doing that? He has to be thinking or something's wrong about the way he's thinking. You mentioned the long plays. I mean, it's very rare that you see 7 plays over 20 yards. And then, you know, and they always have the top 10 plays.
Yeah.
And look, you know, the Seahawks had 4 of over 20 and a couple of 18. They had some big plays on offense. But, yeah, the defense was just – they were, like Nuoso said, just kind of doing whatever they wanted to do. So – yeah, but, you know, it's interesting if you look at some of the stats from this game. The Seahawks won the time of possession,
yeah.
32 to 28. They won the total yards, 420 to their 386. Offensive plays, 69 to 54. They won the turnover battle. You know, and then you see with Penny, he had 4.7 yards a carry. DJ had 7 yards a carry. Walker, 6.3. I mean, the running game averaged 4.9. It was a good day, but it wasn't enough because you gave up, what, 179 yards on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was just it was a weird game that way, but there were so many opportunities. I'm probably going to get to this in Football 101 and talk about they threw a pass to DK Metcalf on 3rd and 2. That was one of those just throw it up for grabs in the end zone. They end up having to settle for a field goal. But if you look at the alignment, they have 3 tight ends. They got a tackle, they got a guard, they got a center. And, you know, there's like 6 guys over there. The Falcons have like 4 guys. They're totally outnumbered. All you do, hand the ball to Penny. You know, just a simple, you know, check. You know, Geno checks it off, run to the right, and instead they throw this pass up that's low percentage, whereas you got Penny, who is putting his head down and trying to be a battering ram. I thought mm-hmm. he was a different player in this game. So, yeah, there's lots of lost opportunities. And, you know, and you mentioned at the end, the the decision by Geno.
Yeah, you know, we'll get into that. Yeah. I was pulling to Dave Wyman, sending you video. I was circling things on the picture, the still shot. So that was another debate on Twitter, but we'll get into that.
But yeah, you know, and he had an okay game, but you know, I think it's too much pressure to ask him to do things that are like the top 12 guys.
Yeah,
you know, like the Justin Herberts in the world. But you know, I thought he was okay, kind of steadily. There was two passes at the end of that game where one got tipped, another got tipped, and it would have been an interception. So he started off really good. The throw to Colby Parkinson, the throw to Will Dissly. And I did love, that was the other thing, 105 yards from your tight ends.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, 9 catches. And I think they were, son of a Gustafson told us, they were 9 for 9. Got a touchdown out of Dissly. So lots of those kinds of things to like. I mentioned all the stats that they beat him with. But yeah, it seems to me that the defense is definitely confused right now.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch on what was happening that was good for this team right now. Let's take two.
Well, I don't know if the NFL listens to our show, but the Pro Bowl, it's done. The NFL announced today that the Pro Bowl game will be replaced by a week-long skills competition. They're calling it the Pro Bowl Games. They're going to have a week-long skills competition and then a flag football game.
How about that?
Well, they kind of play flag football these days.
Yeah, anyway, there are no flags, but it was basically touch. And yeah, it's is anybody upset about this? Is there anybody that's going to go, oh, come on, man, that was great, I'm going to miss this game? Nobody's going to miss this game. And Peyton Manning's involved in reading that article. He and his Omaha production company will help shape the programming and promote the event's content throughout the week. He's going to provide perspective, also be part of the coaching staff for the flag football game.
The Mannings are just taking over, aren't they?
They really are.
Yeah. Do you see, you sent that video the other day of Eli dressing up trying out for Penn State.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. So I love that part of it. I love the skills part of it, especially the quarterback stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about maybe having, you know, who could throw it the furthest? You know, what about a bench press contest, Bob? Or, you know, some of the things that they do at the combine. You know, they ran a 40. The linebacker from Dallas ended up beating a couple of guys.
Micah Parsons.
Parsons, yeah.
So Tyreek Hill, quitter.
The other thing is, you see these guys in just a jersey or whatever. You see their faces. There's no helmet on. You get to know these guys. I think it's a great move.
All right, well, get ready for this. The Kraken, Season 2, begins tonight. It's a preseason game, but yeah. Season 2 of The Kraken is here. Preseason opener tonight at home against Edmonton at 7. Then there's another one tomorrow against Calgary. So 6 preseason games in total before the October 12th regular season opener against the Ducks.
Is it the regular season opener?
It's the opener on the road.
In Anaheim. Yes. On October 12th. Man, feels like the season just ended.
I know.
Boy, Morosi's just, he's vibrating with excitement right now.
He's going to bring it up this week, you know. Yeah.
Matty Beniers.
He's going to say that a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, it really, the offseason went fast. Do we have any numbers on, like, tickets? And, you know, are they still sellouts and things like that? Because I would think that.
I assume so, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that the fans are still going to hang in there with the Kraken. But it'll be good to have, what, 4 sports going on at the same time right now?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Are they a playoff team this year, Thumb?
Nah, they'll be closer. But I think there's still a lot of growth.
Do you like the Kraken, Mike?
Sure.
Okay, then I don't trust your analysis. It's like any team that Mike likes.
Hold on.
Oh, they're terrible.
Hold on. You watched them last year.
They're 10-point underdogs. Should be 20-point underdogs.
He turns out he was right on that one.
Yeah, I was right on that one. I got grief for saying 17 to 20. It was 34.
I'm weary of any team that you like.
Yeah. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, there were signs of progress from the Seahawks offense. We're going to dig deeper into that. Talk about what was good, what was happening out there. That's coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
It wasn't all bad yesterday for the Seahawks, Dave. Yeah, they lost, but wasn't all bad. It is Wyman and Bob, by the way. Seattle Sports Station on 710. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. I don't know if I told you who's coming up today. We got Ryan Roland-Smith coming up at 3 o'clock. We got the Pete Carroll press conference at 4 o'clock. And then Rashad Penny will join us at 5 o'clock today. So good stuff happening. You guys can text in throughout the show, 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So all of that coming your way. But you touched on it right before the break. The offense, the first half, They were rolling. Geno was great. He was taking. I love that he just. Is he electric? No. Is he elite? No. But he's not greedy. He's not trying to do something he's not capable of. He's taking what the defense gives him. He seems to make the right choice, and really efficient in that first half where he was 18 of 25, 218 yards and two touchdowns. The problem has been for him and the offense, and it's only three games, is stringing together a complete game. You had a really good first half against the Broncos. You didn't score a point in the second half. You didn't score a single point in the entire game against the 49ers offensively. The points they scored came off the block field goal attempt. And then this game, first half, two touchdowns, they're rolling. Second half, efficient, but you look at it, he's 14 of 19, 107 yards and an interception. That's not good. And then we could point to the two plays at the end we can get to, but just offensively, what was good? What did you take away? I thought the line did a nice job blocking. I thought there was very little that you could look at, in that, especially in that first half, and go, I wish they did this better.
Yeah, the young guys looked good. I thought they were giving Geno plenty of time. And then opening up some pretty good holes. And the guy that you just mentioned that's going to be on our show at 5 o'clock, Rashad Penny. I mentioned this just briefly. He was a different player yesterday. And not from the standpoint of, and, you know, I think he's out there trying to prove that, hey, what I am all about is what you saw at the end of the year last year. But at the end of the plays where he puts his helmet down and his shoulder pads down and is trying to bowl his way into extra yardage, I love that, man. I just I like the physical Rashad Penny. And so I think, you know, that's maybe something that he sure is, first of all, a really easy guy to root for, right?
Super just, nice guy. He is really a nice guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's somebody you can get behind, that's for sure. But, yeah, and I think it'll be an interesting interview at 5 o'clock. But, yeah, that was the part I thought was looked really good. The other thing is, a guy that we haven't even talked about, Tyler Lockett. And Rabel and I were saying this during the broadcast, and I was like, you know what I say, Rabes? He's always open. And then he would get open again. What do you say about that one, Dave? He's always open, Rabes. Yeah. I mean,
we've been saying
unbelievable.
We tried to ask him about it. Like, what is it you do? He doesn't know. He just is. He's always open.
And he always knows where the defender is. There was a play, I think it was in the second half, where Geno made a really nice throw into a zone, of course. He was right in the middle of it. And he ends up catching it and kind of launching himself forward to get just an extra couple of yards. And he also doesn't take the hit there. So just his awareness of where everybody is on the field is like no other. You know, and I think that's, you know, it's kind of what the defense needs. You know, when you look at their pass coverage, you know, like Cody Barton, I mean, look, I know that the route is running behind you, but you got to take a peek every once in a while just to see what they're doing back there. But that's why Tyler, where he is so good. So, yeah, the things to like, Tyler Lockett, I like, you know, they threw the ball a bunch to DK, and his catch percentage wasn't great. But, you know, he came down with a couple of them. You know, he always good. He's a superstar. But I think Tyler Lockett's the best football player on this team right now by far.
He's just so quietly consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you even say about him anymore that we haven't already said? I mean, he is always open. If the ball's anywhere near his fingertips, he's going to come down with it. He's just deceptive. He's not a showboat. He's not a look at me guy, which I think allows him to kind of fly under the radar. You kind of, even just in being a fan of the team and watching, you almost forget about him. And then you look up at the numbers and go, oh, he was targeted 11 times, caught 9 balls, you know, and you know, just a nice day for him. He's had great days so far this season. 76 yards on 9 catches in this game, and he's just a pro. He's just so consistently good, and reliable. So much so that you just, and it's kind of a compliment, but probably not fair. You just expect that from him. Like that's just who he is. He's just going to be great every week.
The last pass I remember him dropping was in Miami in 2020. Now I'm sure he's had some. But, I mean, for the most part,
no.
maybe not, you know, but I just remember pointing it out, and I felt bad about pointing it out, but I was like, yeah, but, I mean, it never happens. So 211 yards already in a couple of games. He's got a couple of, you know, big long plays, you know, that are over 25 or over 20, actually. So, yeah, I mean, he's just so reliable, and so I liked that. I liked Rashad Penny. I liked first half offensive line in Geno Smith, mm-hmm. not second half offensive line and Geno Smith.
Yeah, things. It's a matter of stringing together two quality hat. And not, you're not going to be mistake free. There are going to be mistakes. You'll give up sacks. Something will go wrong. But yeah, it seems a very night and day situation going on in that Bronco game and in this one when you're just looking at what was being done out there. And Pete said as much. He just, you know, he talked about today with Brock and Salk. They've got to figure out how to finish games.
The impression that I left the game before with about Geno, I think you could see. You could see what I was talking about. I mean, he's on his game. He knows how to play the football game the way we want to play. There's plays in there. He's probably got three or four plays he would love to do all over again. You know, that's ball. But so we made a lot of progress. We played much better balanced as a team. Special teams was really good against two terrific returners. We kept them out of the game. They did a beautiful job for us in matching that up. Jason kicked the ball really well, kept it away from their returner, and made his kicks. And so there was a lot of really good things. We played a much better football game. We need to finish it off and get a win.
And that's, you know, that's the problem is you were in a position to do it, and Geno, you got down the field. I think you got down to what, the 27 of the of the opposition there in the Falcons. Mm-hmm. But then when it mattered most, you had two back-to-back plays, and I sent you the video because I was debating people on Twitter. A, the sack, you can't take that sack, and it wasn't like snap the ball, boom, they're in the backfield. Because I replayed it, watched it, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. They talk about winning the blocks is that 2.5 seconds. It was over 2.5 seconds. And Geno's got a tendency just to backpedal straight back. And that's what he did on that. You can't take that sack. You got to throw that ball away.
I think if it was from the outside, it would have been a different story. The fact that it came inside, I think that maybe puts an extra tick or two on that clock or takes one away. But yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to make a play.
Yeah, I get. And Russell took sacks. I mean, there were how many times we go, Russell, you got to throw the ball away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've made plays, and that's part of his game. But we call it, the cost of doing business with right. Russell. That Geno's not that elusive. You can't just backpedal, go straight back, and then take that sack. So then you're in a fourth and, what was it, 18. And I sent you the video. I sent you the still shot. He tried to drop the ball in between two defenders when Marquise Goodwin was wide open. I don't know who blew coverage. There wasn't anybody in the picture with him at the sidelines. He was at about the 18. He was totally alone. And then he had Rashad Penny on the same side, right, say if you're looking at the end zone, right side of the field in the corner of the end zone. There was not a defender within 6 yards of him. Yeah. Two guys that were wide open on that play. Instead, he went with, let me try to rainbow it in between these two defenders, and it gets picked off. It was just a bad decision.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, was that DK or Tyler Lockett that he was throwing.
I think
he was
trying to throw it to Lockett.
Yeah. I would defend him on that too. But yeah, here's what I think. I think Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes probably find those guys. And that's just not quite who Geno is yet anyway. Like, we talk about, is he the kind of guy that can win a game for you? Can he march the ball down the field in the fourth quarter and, be that kind of guy? Maybe not. Maybe he's sort of inching towards that. But I think for most, good quarterbacks that are in that category as he is, that aren't in the elite category, they probably, the good ones make that play, but he just didn't. So, and I think he's starting to come along more and more, but yeah, as that game went along, and I mentioned this before, but it was, there was a back-to-back throws that he made that were right into coverage, right down the middle of the field. It was right when they were about the 50-yard line or so. One got tipped. The other one got tipped, thankfully, because they would have picked it off. So, yeah, that's just the kind of guy that he is right now. And I think, statistically, they really won this game. I can't put it on Geno just because that would have been a spectacular play if he would have made that. But there were so many other things. Like, how about, with 2 minutes left being on the 10-yard line, first and 10, and it gets all blown back because of a holding penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he's not alone. I'm not putting the loss on him. Your defense is terrible.
No. I get it.
Your defense is not good. It's just you still, despite your defense, were in a position to get it done, and it didn't happen. For those reasons. I mean, you can look at it, go back, watch the tape. Two guys, in my opinion, were wide open. You just didn't see him, I guess. All right, coming up, plenty to talk about here, but what's bugging Bob? Coming your way next here with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey, 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 hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
Oh, boy, this weekend certainly provided plenty of material, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about keys to the game, and I was like, before the broadcast, Rabel and I was like, how about if these 12s take out their frustration on the fact that westbound 90 is closed? And, oh, by the way, since everybody's forced to go to 520, sorry, I don't mean to steal your segment, Bob.
Sorry.
Everybody's forced to go to 520, which was a freaking parking lot. You'd think, let's drop the toll. How about we drop? No, they're the gouging people.
Cleaning up. That's big business that day.
Oh, my God. It was like $465, which we only have one pass. So my wife had it. She had to go across. So it cost me $465. It was $265 if you have a pass. Mm. But still, I mean, you're forcing everybody. You got to shut down. How about maybe, you know, make it a dollar?
Nah.
Just anything.
They got to pay for all the construction that's happening everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh, so, yeah, that drove me nuts. I'm like, this is extortion, you know. But, yeah, I was saying, hey, let's maybe the 12s take out their frustrations of westbound 90 being closed by, you know, letting the Falcons have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, did yours have to do with traffic, Bob?
No. Traffic has been a joy, Dave.
Oh,
it's
you got
been
your
an absolute
you got
joy.
Your little bridge open and you're fine now.
My little bridge is open. I've been going back and forth across my little bridge with no impediments.
Do you whistle as you drive across?
I cry. I cry tears of joy,
cheers.
Dave. You have no idea how much that changes a mood in the morning. You've got no idea when every day you're faced with, I can either get there in 20 minutes, I can get there in an hour and 20, and there's nothing that's consistent about any of it. But clearly what bothered me most is the Mariners. It's just, I'm so invested in this team. I am such a huge, huge baseball, lifelong baseball fan, and this team is just right there. They're on the precipice. They're right there. Postseason, first time in two decades. Like we talked about, there are people that listen to this show that weren't even born the last time this team was in the playoffs. And to have them go on the road for their final road stretch, 10 games, and to have them drop 7 of 10 to those teams, to the Angels, the A's, the Royals, to have them score one run in half of those games, Dave. In 5 games, they scored one run. And then, you know, the comedy of errors with the pitching in this last, you know, coughing up an 11-2 lead in the bottom of the sixth. And you guys can still text in, by the way, 866-979-3776. Is that the worst loss in franchise history? Based on where they're at in the season, what's at stake? Not point different, not biggest lead blown. That goes to the Cleveland game back in 2001. But they won 116 games that year, and that was August 5th, not September 25th or whatever date it is. But, yeah, that for me just was, I had a knot in my stomach. We're all in the press box, like I told you. They're watching the Seahawks, but everybody in the press box going, are you seeing what's going on with this Mariner game? Hey, what's this? Like, everybody was there to report and watch the Seahawks, report on the Seahawks, and everybody in the press box is buzzing about the Mariner game, not for the right reasons, because they're collapsing. And I had a legitimate knot in my stomach. I was so angry. Like, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way you do this. And all I could think about is you just going, I just hope, you know, at the end of it, they're not having to be in a position to win 6 in a row or 5 in a row to get in. And they're not there. And I think they'll be there for those that keep saying saying they're not going to get there. This is about that game. This is about making their life harder. And that just infuriated me.
Well, in Major League Baseball scheduling, it's like the Mariners are slapping God in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you had the easiest schedule. You going back to last weekend and, you know, the aggravation of losing 2 games with the Seahawks and then having a weekend where you get taken in series against teams that you should win,
mm-hmm.
You should beat. So, yeah, now they're the 29th toughest schedule. I guess the Angels have, you know, the A's and the Texas. So, that's the frustrating part. For me, is that you've gotten, well, I think the most frustrating thing, and it's not really anything you can blame on anyone or anything, the injuries. I hate that. That drives me nuts. I mean, I watched a touchdown scored yesterday on Josh Jones, and I'm like, Jamal Adams going to make that tackle.
Yeah.
Nothing against Josh. Love him, but, you know, so the injuries really, that, and that's not really, I mean, you're kind of screaming at the wind. They just happen. But being given that schedule that they have, yeah, where it's the Angels, the Royals, the A's, you got the A's again, Detroit, Texas, don't ruin it, man. Don't ruin it.
Yeah. Oh, that was tough yesterday. That was a tough one. And I had to come home and watch it so I could see exactly what happened. And that was misery, even knowing what was coming. It was just awful. All right. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up, he's back after one of his foreign adventures out there. And I think he's going to join us and then jump right back on a plane, probably in coach, and then head to wherever he's going in the world. We'll talk to Ryan Roland Smith. He'll join us next year with Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.